Amen. Tyler, thank you for that special tonight. If you would turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. As I thought about and prayed about this night, knowing the Awana Awards night, knowing a few weeks ago the pastor was going to be gone tonight, asking me to speak tonight, Lord, put this passage on my heart. And there's nothing new here. There's nothing new in Scripture. I understand that. But God just kind of impressed some things upon my heart from this, and I want to share with you from God's Word tonight on the authority of Scripture, just some things I think can be a help and a challenge to us. I appreciate the Awana ministry. I appreciate the those that have been involved in the Awana ministry throughout the years, both past and present. I am a graduate of the Awana ministry, I guess you could say, and I know there's others in here as well. And so I think as a parent, if you've had if you've either been in it yourself or if you had your child in it, you understand the value of teaching them Scripture and just the excitement that comes when Monday night's rolling around and the kids are excited to be able to come and rush in and be here on a Monday night. And so I just love the Awana ministry. I love our church and the desire to help reach young people and to disciple them. That's what Awana is. It's a discipleship ministry, a ministry focused on discipling young Christian kids. And so that's what we have the Awana ministry for. Galatians chapter number 6, we're going to read just a few verses here, starting in verse number 7. Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 7 reads, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this day. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight. Lord, church all day. Just thank you for the freedoms we have to do so in our country. Lord, thank you for the mandate in Scripture for us to meet and to gather where two or three are gathered in your name. Lord, you're in the midst. And so we know that your presence is here with us tonight. Lord, we felt that through the worship service so far. And Lord, now as we come to the preaching, Lord, the most important part, not because of me, but because of your word and what you have for us. So Lord, I pray that you would just speak through me, Lord. I pray that you'd use me as an instrument in your hand. Lord, I ask that you would just bind the devil from distracting anyone in this room. May our focus be solely upon you and your word. Lord, I pray that you would just help me and strengthen me, Lord, and help me only say those things that you'd have me to say this evening. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm going to make a definitive statement that it is absolutely true, and if you disagree with it, then there's something wrong with you. There is nothing like garden fresh tomatoes. I mean, like fresh, pick it off the vine. You don't kill the bugs. You don't even wash it. You just take it and you bite right into it. There's nothing like it. In fact, when you compare it to the store-bought tomatoes, it's kind of embarrassing to call what you buy at a store a tomato. Is anybody in here like me, like the fresh garden tomatoes? Amen. All right. And the saved people just raised their hands. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to see that. Okay. Now, for nearly all my life, I've enjoyed garden fresh tomatoes on a yearly basis. Growing up, we had the privilege for several years during my elementary years of living with my grandparents. And when we lived with my grandparents, one of the things that Granddaddy always did is he planted on the south side of our house, there you could see just a row of tomato plants. I mean, it was just one row of tomato plants that he planted there. We didn't plant anything else. We didn't do herbs. We didn't do any other vegetables. It was tomatoes and nothing else. And so I can remember on many occasions standing there, watering them, going by when you're cutting the grass and getting a peek to see if they're ripe yet, and always looking at those tomatoes and wondering when we're going to get to enjoy them. And as they grew bigger and bigger, we'd keep an eye on them, waiting for them to ripen and, ready to pick them when they turn red, unless Granny wanted to make fried green tomatoes. Okay, so then we would grab some green tomatoes and bring those in. So, enjoying those tomatoes, I remember that. It's one of my great childhood memories, our garden fresh tomatoes from the side of our house. Now, after my grandparents moved to Kentucky, kind of left us in a conundrum because my parents weren't gardeners and I wasn't a gardener, but our neighbor Bob to the north had tomato plants. So we were in luck. And so our neighbor Bob would grow his tomato plants, and from time to time he would give them to us. And I could remember sometimes kind of meandering over there when he was out and just kind of putting my hands in my pockets and, "What are you doing? What you got there? Oh, tomato plants, they're red, they're ready, they're ripe," and just hoping he would offer us some. And Mom would be cooking sometimes. I remember she'd say, "Hey, go over and ask Bob if we can borrow some tomatoes." And I remember doing that, and I must confess, because I'm in the pulpit, that maybe one time I might have taken them without asking. I can't remember, but that's probably a good possibility. I loved Garden Fresh tomatoes. And so then now, having grown up and moved away from there, I rely on church members for my Garden Fresh tomatoes, mainly Chuck Johnson. Can't wait. Brings in those 5-gallon buckets full of tomatoes. Oh, my goodness. All right, so anyways, I love those Garden Fresh tomatoes. I think most people do. If you're right with God, you love the Garden Fresh tomatoes. So I can eat them like an apple. I mean, I could just, you know, bite right into it. I don't need anything special. I could quarter them, sprinkle a little salt, and I'm good, and that's all I need. In fact, one of the things my granddaddy taught me was a tomato sandwich. Just take 2 pieces of white bread, slather on some Hellman's mayo. Not any other mayo, it's got to be Hellman's. You slather that on, slice up some big fat slices of tomato, sprinkle a little salt, and you've got one of the best sandwiches you can possibly get. Now, you know, you think about all these things, and I think about tomatoes, and for my entire life, being around those tomatoes and talking about that, but really, for my entire life, and that's really the extent of any kind of gardening I had, but in my entire life, in relation to those tomatoes, I've had right in front of my eyes the whole time sowing and reaping. It was there, right there, the whole time. The idea of sowing and reaping, the fact that some tomato plants were sown and some seed were sown, and then eventually, down the road, some reaping would take place. And I think we would all admit that tonight, that we've seen it lived out before our very eyes, whether it's through a garden we've kept ourselves, whether it's through a garden that maybe a family member had kept, or maybe it was something other that we had seen the principle of sowing and reaping. You get the seed, you prepare the soil, you plant it, you water, you provide sunshine, you weed it, and eventually comes the harvest. So we're all aware of how that works. Now, when we come to Galatians chapter number 6, God has chosen to use this law of nature to apply it to our lives spiritually. And so in particular, there's 3 principles here of sowing and reaping that are mentioned in these 3 verses. First of all, verse number 7, we can only reap what's been sown or where we've sown. Verse number 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, as we think about sowing and reaping, I think a lot of times we think about the negative aspects of it, but there are positive aspects to sowing and reaping as well. Now, no reaping can take place until the sowing has been done. I know that sounds pretty simple, that sounds pretty obvious, but I cannot expect to harvest tomatoes from a tomato plant if I've never planted the tomato seed to begin with. So there has to be a planting that takes place to begin with. Long before a reaping ever happens, a planting has to happen, a preparation there has to happen. So you can't grow something unless it's been planted. Now, it's natural for seeds to be produced from fruit and for eventually those seeds to be planted and then fruit to be born. But you see, it cannot happen unless it's been planted, unless it's been sown. There is no reaping that can take place, as it's revealed here in verse number 7. So if you plant a seed, odds are something is going to grow from that seed, and you're going to reap that eventually. But as you think about this, as you grow or as you put in that sowing effort or you put into it, you understand, first of all, it takes work. It takes work to keep a garden. Brother Chuck, does it take work to keep that garden? Absolutely. Whether it be tilling or it be weeding or making sure it's properly watered or making sure it's placed in the part where it's got plenty of light and it's kept after and it's made sure that those tomato plants are growing in the right direction and growing up, and all those different things have to happen and take place in order for there to be a reaping. But the idea, first of all, is there's got to be a planting. It's going to take work to be able to do that. But it also takes an investment. They're not free. Don't give them away. For the most part, you've got to buy them and be able to plant them. But what is also true when it comes to sowing and reaping, there's a limited time to do so. You can't just plant tomato plants whenever you want. You can't just put the tomato seed in the ground in December and wait a few months and hope to find tomatoes. It's not going to happen. There's a limited time for it. For many crops, there's a particular time in which they must be planted. For Indiana, the window for planting corn has almost completely closed. It's usually the last week of April and the first week of May are the times in Indiana to plant corn. Now, they won't see that harvest till down the road, but the understanding there is there's a limited time for that to be sown, that seed to be sown. Now, spiritually speaking, I'll tell you this, the same is true. We can't ever expect to reap where we haven't sown. We can't expect to reap spiritually where we haven't sown spiritually. That works negatively and positively. But we understand this tonight that it takes work. When I'm talking about sowing spiritually, talking about sowing into the heart of a child, as we talk about through Awana with the Bible verses, or sowing into my own life spiritually, some spiritual things, or sowing and investing in a particular area of my life, first of all, I understand it takes work. It's not going to happen by itself. If we can't look to the world and expect them to do it, no, we have to understand that God wants to use us to put the work in necessary to do the sowing. But it also takes an investment as well. It's not without any kind of a cost. It's not without some kind of a cost. And we live in a world today that wants everything for free, but I'm telling you, sometimes it takes some cost and it takes some investment. And when it comes to doing spiritual things and doing spiritual investment, there's a cost involved. And sometimes it's our time, sometimes it's our talent, sometimes it's our finances, and it can go on and on and on, but the idea is that there's an investment there. But I can tell you that the same is true when it comes to planting things physically, spiritually, there's limited time as well. There's limited time as well. These kids are going to grow up one day to be adults. You guys have heard studies, and there's all kinds of studies that have been done and percentages, but the truth is that most everyone receives Christ in their youth. Most everyone forms who they are spiritually in their youth. That's when the basis, that's when the foundation is laid. But the time is also limited because our time on earth is limited. The Bible says our life is as a vapor that appears for a short time and then vanisheth away just like that. So that's why we had to understand our time is limited. The time for me to sow is limited. And we cannot waste our time. Listen to Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, verse 10. It says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where thou goest. What he's saying there, what Solomon's saying in Ecclesiastes, is that there's going to come a day when you can't do it anymore. There's going to come a day where you cannot sow spiritually anymore. And we might find ourselves, and sometimes even as teenagers can find themselves as well, and adults just as well can sit back and say, you know what, I'll invest later. I'll sow later. I'll sow in a more convenient time. And I'll tell you, your life will be over before you know it. And the time to invest and the time to sow spiritually will be gone. So we understand, first of all, that you can only reap what's been sown and where you've sown. The second thing is this. Look at verse number 8. We will reap the same kind as what we have sown. We will reap the same kind as what we have sown. Verse number 8. It says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, there's no surprises here. I mean, at least there shouldn't be, as the idea that when something is planted, whatever you plant is what's going to grow. I don't think anybody is surprised when they plant some corn that corn grows. That's not a shocker. All right, let's imagine real quick, if you would, that we're going to plant a garden and we're going to have four rows. And in this row, I'm going to plant carrot seeds. In this row, I'm going to plant cucumber seeds. In this row, I'm going to plant corn seeds. And in this row, I'm going to plant tomato seeds. Now, is anybody going to be surprised when this row brings us tomatoes? No. Is anybody going to be surprised when this row brings us corn? No. Is anybody going to be surprised when this row brings us cucumbers? Absolutely not. Will anybody be surprised when this row brings us carrots? No. Why? Because you're going to get what you plant. You're going to reap what you sow. The kind that you sow is going to be reaped later. So that's why the Bible says here in verse number 8, if we sow to our flesh, then we're going to reap from our flesh. And if we sow to our spirit, then we're going to reap from our spirit. So God doesn't reward good for bad or bad for good. That's not the way that it works. That's against natural law, and that's against the law of God. You know, I was thinking about that even today as I was dropping off some of the bus kids, because Brother Rob is at the hospital, as you guys know, and Miss Rebecca's having a baby. But anyways, I had to take his route, and taking them home, one kid in particular was just a problem over and over again. And so we got to his house, and I went up to the door and talked to his mom and just let him know that we had some problems with him. And the kid stands there and says, I didn't get my candy. And I thought, you know why you didn't get your candy? Because you were not good on the bus. That's why you did not get your candy. So guess what? Go in the house. You ain't getting any candy. Okay, maybe it wasn't quite like that, but but I was thinking it. But how many times do people think, hey, good should be rewarded for bad? No, that's not the way that it works. God, that's against his law. Good is rewarded for good and bad is rewarded for bad. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this part. Brother Dickey preached a message back at the end of March on Sunday morning and did a great job. But the truth is, if you don't like what you're reaping, the problem very well could be what you're sowing. You understand that? You look at your life, you look into your kids, you look into your home, you look into your own life spiritually, you look into your ministry even, you look into every aspect of your life. If you don't like what you're reaping, the problem very well could be what you're sowing. You're sowing to the flesh and not to the spirit. So we've seen these principles here. We know that we can only reap what's been sown and that we're going to reap the same kind as what we have sown. But also this in verse number 9, we will reap in season. Verse number 9, it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In due season we shall reap. Now understand this tonight, provided that the proper conditions are there and that care has been put into place, in time you're going to reap. Eventually you're going to reap. You're going to get back from what you've sown. It's going to happen. As we could talk about the tomato or the corn or the garden that you plant, in time, it may take months, but eventually you're going to reap what you've sown. It's going to happen. There's always a waiting period that has to take place. So as I said, most corn growers within the last 2 weeks have planted their corn, but not until July and August and September will they begin to reap the fruit of their labors down the road. It's not immediate. It doesn't come right away. So the condition of the soil, the amount of sun and water, insects, other factors affect the harvest on when it will come and even how much is yielded. But understand and know this and mark it down that the harvest will come. That the reaping, the time for reaping will come and it will happen. So as we sow in our lives good, then obviously we're going to reap good. And we sow in our lives bad, then obviously eventually we're going to reap bad. That's going to happen. Now, what often happens is when we sow fleshly things is that afterwards there's no immediate reaping. As in, if we sow sin into our lives or maybe we sow some fleshly things into our children, we don't see an immediate reaction. We don't see the immediate negative and we think, hey, everything's good. Everything's all right. I just dabbled in it a little bit. There was just a little bit that was there, then everything's just fine. But the Bible spoke about Moses in Hebrews 11:25, that he chose rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Because the Bible says the pleasures of sin are only for a season. Why? Because there's a season coming of reaping what's been sown. But the same is true spiritually, that we may not reap the blessings right away. Can I tell you, as you labor spiritually, as you work for the Lord, as you even invest in your own life spiritually or into the children that God has entrusted you with or the ministries that you're involved in, you may not see that reaping right away. You might not see God's blessings right away. It may not happen on your timeline or when you expect it, but I'll tell you this, that a delay in God's blessings doesn't mean a denial in God's blessings. Sometimes you just have to wait. Listen to Psalm 27:14. It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Sometimes you could be here tonight and you're involved in a ministry, or maybe you're working hard on your kids and in your family and your own life spiritually, and you've been plugging away, and you've been plowing away, and you've been sowing, and you've been putting in the work and investing, and you've been sowing spiritual things, and nothing is showing for it. Can I tell you this? The harvest will come. The time of reaping will come. And it's not always in our timing, but it is always in God's timing. So I know what some of you could be thinking. You could be thinking, well, Brother Aaron, that's great. I already knew most of those things that you shared with me tonight. What does that really have to do with me? Or what does that have to do with this Awana Awards thing that we had going on? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because this does apply to us. Oh, yes, it does. Because God has given each of us a garden to sow and reap in. He's given each of us an area in our lives to do some sowing and some reaping. You know, for everyone in here, first of all, it's your family. It's your home. That's the garden that God has given you. Here on Mother's Day, mothers, that's the garden God has given you. Fathers, that's the garden that's given God's given you is your home. A place to do some sowing and some reaping, a place to invest, a place to work, a place to labor. It's our first ministry. In order to effectively minister outside the home, we must effectively minister inside our home. You know, before we ever want to reach out, we need to make sure we're reaching in. The great responsibility, there's no greater responsibility given, but it's not our only responsibility. You understand that tonight? There's no greater responsibility than the ministry of our own home, but it's not our only responsibility. You see, God wants us to serve Him, not just through our home, but through our church. Amen. God's called and planted you as a member of the Lighthouse Baptist Church to be involved in the labor and to serve Him. And God's given you your own little church ministry, a garden, to do some sowing and reaping. Tonight it could be for you that Awana group, that group of girls or that group of boys you are with on a weekly basis from the months of September to April, working with them, helping them memorize verses and work through a book. For others, it could be that bus route that you work on a weekly basis or that van route that you work and visit on a weekly basis. For some others, it could be that Sunday school or junior church class that you're a part of on a weekly basis. For others, it could be you that are sitting there in that toddler class with 20 toddlers. Like this morning, a Sunday morning, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I just stopped and my jaw hung open. 20 toddlers, 1 and 2 year olds in this room, and I just couldn't believe it. But that could be the garden that God's planted you in. It could be the trustee ministry or special music. The question is, what garden are you working in? In this church, what garden are you working in? Are you sowing and reaping in? Let me remind you this, we can only reap where we've sown. We can have great intentions, we can have great plans, but nothing's ever going to come from it if we don't sow. And it requires that work and an investment, but now is the time. And I can tell you this, in those ministries, in those areas of responsibility, in that family, in that home, in the ministries here in the church, in that garden that God has given you, we will reap what we sow. We've got to first sow, but then we're also going to reap what kind it is that we sow. You know what separates the church ministries from everything else going on out there? I'll tell you this, what separates the Awana clubs from what I compare it to with people that have no idea what it is, and that's the Boys and Girls Scouts? You know what differentiates the two? One is focused primarily on the spiritual, and the other, although it's not wrong, it's not bad, they intend to do some good things, and they certainly do, but it's not focused on the spiritual. But what I love about the church and what I love about the Awana ministry is the focus on investing and sowing spiritually into lives. And as we sow spiritually, we can expect to reap spiritually as well. We seek to sow spiritual things in the hearts of these young people. We seek to sow spiritual things in this church overall as a whole. And I'm so thankful for a church that seeks to minister to my spirit and not my flesh. To my spirit and not my flesh. I appreciate that in our church services. I hope you do too, that it's evident that the Spirit of God is in this place and God's Spirit is moving and working in this place and it's on the music, it's on the preaching. Why? Because the focus is to minister to our spirit. I'm thankful for that, but also in our children's ministry as we thought about that. You know, the unique thing about Awana is the constant sowing of God's Word into the lives of those children. And I'll tell you this tonight, your garden or your ministry should deal primarily with the spiritual. Deal with the spiritual. You know, it saddens me, this happens occasionally, and other bus workers could talk this about you as well, but there's times where we'll lose bus kids to other churches because of the fleshly or physical things that they have to offer. I remember being a bus captain, one of the things that sometimes, and Miss Deb, we could talk about this later, and I know where the church is at, but just a small little church on State Street that we would lose kids to because they were playing Xbox on Sunday morning. That's what they were doing. And that's why kids wanted to go to that church instead of ours. I'm telling you, you can sow to the physical, that's fine, but you're going to reap to the physical. But we want to sow to the spiritual and reap from the spiritual as well. And the last thing, of course, is we're going to reap in season. In season. We're rarely going to see the fruit right away, but in time we will reap what we sow. God's Word does not return void. God's Word is not going to come back empty. And the Bible says if we'll train up a child in the way he should go, then when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, there's one thing here that I want you to consider as we close. Because verse number 9, there's a promise that, oh yes, we're going to reap. Oh yes, in due season we're going to reap. But it's conditional. It says, if we faint not. Look at the end of verse number 9. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. Now we may do everything we need to. We may do everything right. We may have sown and got involved. We may have been there and understood that, hey, I've got to put the work and the effort in necessary. I'm going to work in my family. I'm going to work in my ministry. I'm going to work in my garden. I'm going to sow, understanding one day that I'm going to sow spiritual things. And one day down the road, I'm going to reap spiritual things. And having that in my mind and knowing that I'm going to put the work in necessary. But I'm telling you this, if anywhere along the way I quit, the Bible says I'm not going to reap because I've fainted. I've quit. I've stopped. I've stopped doing what God wanted me to do. The conditional promise, if. Well, why? What causes me to faint? What causes me to stop? You look at it and it says it in that passage. Verse number 9, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. But in verse number 9 at the beginning, let us not be weary in well-doing. What leads to the quitting is the weariness. The weariness. Now, can I tell you this tonight? I want you to understand this, okay? Tonight, I'm going to tell you this honestly, that there are times I'm weary physically in serving the Lord. And if you don't feel the same way, then more power to you. But that's not what this is talking about. That's not talking about being weary physically. No, this is talking about being weary in spirit. And there's a difference. Being weary physically says, oh, I'm tired, or this is great, but man, this has really worn me out, or this can really make me tired sometimes, or this can kind of be a drag sometimes, but I love doing it. But weary in spirit says, you know what? I just don't think I'm making a difference. You know what? I just don't think it's worth it. You know what? I don't think I can keep going. You know what? I don't think it's necessary. You know what? Somebody else can step in and do it. I'm here to tell you tonight, based on God's word, if you want to sow in due season, then don't give up. Don't quit. Don't be weary. Keep working. Keep working. Keep laboring there, being faithful, because the harvest will come. So don't give up in that Awana group. Don't give up on that bus route. Don't give up in that Sunday school or junior church class. Don't give up in that toddler class. Don't give up in the trustee ministry. Don't give up in the special music. The fruit is always worth the labor. But the Bible says this, if we faint not. If we faint not. Now, you might be here tonight, and I don't know exactly how God's worked this in your life or in your heart tonight, but you might be here tonight, and you might already have grown weary in spirit. And you might even come to the point where you've quit. You've fainted. I'm here to tell you tonight, as long as there's life and breath in your lungs, there's still chance. There's still an opportunity to get back to sowing and to reaping and eventually one day down the road, harvesting and seeing that those blessings if we're not fainting. Could be here tonight that you're very close. You say, man, Brother Aaron, it's been a tough Awana year. I'm really not sure if I'm going to sign back up next year. Or Brother Aaron, it just feels like I'm not making a difference in this class. It feels like I'm not making a difference in this ministry. It feels like I'm not making a difference in my home. I just don't know if what I'm doing is going to work. I'm here to tell you tonight, don't give up. Amen. Don't give up. I'm telling you, there's history throughout the Bible. There's history through 30 years of the Lighthouse Baptist Church that in due season, you will reap if you faint not. Amen. If you faint not. But the key is not being weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in well-doing. Not physically weary. It's talking spiritually weary. Weary in your spirit, your desire in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed.